Okay, who's ready to really get some good stuff here today? I have some great stuff for you. All right, have some great training. By the way, flip your camera on so I can see you. I want to ask everybody a quick question here. Who here has used the online AI tools like Midjourney, ChatGPT, these kinds of things? Who's been using these? Who has not used these yet? Okay, wow. So it might be half or more. We haven't used them yet. Who's been using them really consistently and using them in your coaching business? Okay, so a few people. All right, so not so many. Well, then good. We'll dive into this and we'll learn about these things today because it's a very big deal. Very, very big deal. And we'll do some other things as well. All right. So welcome to the Startup Club. And let's remember, we are in the Startup Club. That's what we're here to do, is to start up our coaching businesses. And I came up with the name Startup Club because I'm really interested in startup businesses. You know, startup is the word that we use when, you know, we're starting an entrepreneurial company. It's the word that they use in Silicon Valley. And it has a kind of energy to it. You know, a startup is something that feels like it's fresh, it's new, it's got new energy in it. And when you're building your coaching business, especially when you're starting out or you're getting into the growth phase, you have to do a lot of things that startup businesses do, okay, in order to succeed. And so I want to talk a little bit about what some of those things are. And I want to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship and want to share with you some ideas for getting clients and growing your business and ultimately how to succeed. And then we'll learn about some of these new technology tools and we'll dive in with them. Okay. So what's the secret to success as a coach and the secret to success getting clients? What is it? What's the secret, if there is one? What's the big secret? In the chat, I'd love to get an answer from each of us. All right. What is the secret? What is the secret to coaching and to getting clients? Even more specifically, what's the secret to coaching clients so that they take action and get great results? And the secret to getting high qualified, you know, really great clients? What is it? Being focused, being consistent, having conversations, getting results, empathy, listening, consistently reaching out, personal conversation and listening, curiosity, accountability, having conversations, scheduling right then, connecting to their needs, believing in them, consistent action, conversation, yeah, solving their pain point, getting clients, consistent outreach, great coaching, listening, supporting, and believing in the client, connecting, providing them with value. All right. These are all excellent. Yeah. Believing in yourself and others. Yeah. And taking action, holding their vision for them and getting them where they want to be. Tanya, asking questions. Yeah. Okay. These are all excellent, right? And basically all of them are the right answer. And I want to put a little bit sharper point on things here. And to do this, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. A few of you may have heard this story before. I grew up in Oregon, okay? I grew up in Oregon, which is, yes, Diana, I grew up in Oregon. Diana's awesome because she is in Oregon. And I had these hippie parents who, in the 70s, they kind of dropped out, as they used to say back then, and they moved to Oregon because that's where hippie parents moved with me, a little kid. And I grew up literally out in the backwoods, okay, in a little town called Walton, Oregon, that was between Eugene and Florence. And my parents were, you know, very poor and we were on government assistance, you know, my whole life and would do things like, you know, go stand in line for an hour to get a block of cheese, you know, for free. And like that was reality for me. I didn't have new clothes until I was, I don't know, 15 or 16 or something. And I say this because I want you to know that the things that I'm going to talk about right now with you, these didn't come to me. I didn't have parents that were teaching this stuff to me. I didn't learn any of this stuff when I was young. There were no There's no mindsets that I got about success. Basically, rich people were bad people, you know, when I was growing up, and there was a lot of conflict and so forth about money. And, you know, I was a long-haired rock and roll guitar player in my late teenage years. I worked in a metal shop. I was kind of a, you know, an artist, kind of hippie artist child. And I got into my early 20s. My first home that I moved into was a little trailer home that I traded a guitar and $1,500 for. And I was very excited to move into this place. But I had no friends who were rich. I didn't know anyone who knew anyone who was rich. I had no access. I had dropped out of high school. And then I dropped out of my local community college to go on tour with a rock band. And, you know, I got into my early 20s and I just said, look, you know, making $10 an hour at my manual labor job and making $75 a week as a guitar player, which was my height of getting paid as a guitar player, $75 a week, it's just not doing it for me. You know, I want to have a, I'd like to have a house someday. You know, I had a, my biggest goal, I found my, I had this deck of cards where I used to write affirmations to myself and I used to write my goals. And my biggest goal back then was to have a house. And in Eugene, Oregon, the nicest houses were these old Victorian houses. And, you know, back then, you know, a few $100,000 would get you an unbelievable house, you know? And so that was the biggest goal that I had, was to have a house with a garage in it. And that was all I could imagine. And maybe like a nice car. And, but to get something like that, to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for somebody who made $10 an hour, it seemed, you know, very far away. And so I went and got a real estate license. Okay. And who's heard me tell the story of getting a real estate license and some of the lessons I've learned there? Okay. Who's never heard these stories before that I've talked about this? Wiggle your fingers at me if you've never heard me talk about this. Okay. So I'm just going to recover this quickly. So when I started out as a real estate agent, I was driving around in a two-door Camaro with a ponytail, trying to get people to buy and sell real estate with me. And as you can probably imagine, you know, being a 22-year-old long-haired rock and roll guitar player with a Camaro that wasn't very nice, it just didn't kind of all line up. So again, point is, I had to figure this out for myself. I had to figure out how to get clients absolutely from scratch. I didn't have the virtual coach. I didn't have any kind of training. Nobody had any books for me. There was just, there was nothing. And I went into real estate and all the things that I tried didn't work. Flyers didn't work. Mailings didn't work. Ads didn't work. Knocking on doors. None of the things that I tried worked until I went and I ran an ad that said, free report reveals how to save money if you're buying or selling a home in Eugene, Oregon. All of a sudden, there was lots and lots of calls from people out of nowhere. And it was quite interesting because, you know, nothing had worked. And I spent money and time on many different things. And then all of a sudden, this thing worked. And what the mindset shift that I got there from this one, the key mindset shift that I got, was to move away from trying to sell myself or sell that I sell real estate or get people to call my real estate office, and to realize there's something that a person who wants to buy or sell real estate really wants. Okay. There's something that they really want. And if I can give them that thing, they'll call me all day long. So when I offered a free report that you could just call and get that taught you how to save money, gave you tips for saving money if you're buying or selling a home. And again, I want to just say one more time, I did a bunch of different things and no one called basically on any of them. And then I did one thing and I got lots and lots and lots of response. This is also, by the way, how it works when you're in a startup. Okay. When you're starting a business, when you've got your product, when you're first doing your marketing, you try things and they don't work. And you try things and they don't work, and you try things that don't work. And then all of a sudden something works. And then you follow that thing. Okay. So most of us are used to coming from an academic and professional background where most of the things that we do, they work. If you're a doctor, okay, most of the equipment that you use works. Most of the medicines that you use work the way they're supposed to. If you're an accountant, you know, when you put the numbers in the spreadsheet, They work when you do double entry bookkeeping. It works. Okay, when you do architecture, if you understand how to design a building so that it holds a certain load, you do the math and then you do it and it works. And that's because we got all this knowledge about things that comes from thousands of years of what worked in that particular domain. So we get used to that. So the first thing I want to share with you here is the startup mindset. And the startup mindset is, it's comprised of a few things, but the startup mindset is, I don't know if this thing that I'm about to try is going to work. It very well may not work, but that's okay because I'm going to learn something when I try it. And if I keep trying things, I will find something that works. Okay, I will find something that works. William James famously talked about how if you have a magnet and you have iron filings, that the iron filings are attracted to the magnet the way Romeo is attracted to Juliet. But there's a difference. If I put a barrier between the iron filings and the magnet, the filings will still try to get to the magnet, but they'll push up against the wall or the piece of glass or, you know, whatever it is. And then they'll stop and they'll just stay right there. They won't do anything else. Whereas Romeo, if he walks up to the wall or to the glass and he can't get through, he'll go try something. He'll try going around it, going under it, climbing over it, because he wants to kiss her. Okay. And he's going to be creative until he figures out how to do it. And unfortunately, what happens when a lot of people get started as coaches is they act like iron filings rather than acting like Romeo. And I want to encourage you to act like Romeo, that if you try something and it doesn't work out, do what entrepreneurs do. Do what we do. You try something else. And if that doesn't work, you try something else. And if that doesn't work, you go and you read another book and then you try that thing. And if that doesn't work, you go find another coach that's like you and you say, hey, what are you doing? Can you show me how to do this? Until you find the thing that works for you. Okay. It's a very critical mindset. It's really very, very, very important. When I was in my late 20s and I was single and I got to this point where I just said, I'm tired of being afraid of women and I want to get a date really bad. And even though I kind of had, there was something, I had had a few girlfriends. I'd even had some wonderful girlfriends, but it just felt, because when I was growing up, I never had a girlfriend. I did, you know, no girls ever talked to me or wrote me notes or anything. I felt like there was just something inherently about me that was wrong. Like, or maybe I just didn't deserve to be successful that way. And you know what? I felt this way with money too, when I was growing up. There was a lot of this like, well, maybe I just don't, I'm just not one of the people that deserves it, or I don't get it, or maybe I'm not smart enough, or maybe, I don't know. And I remember at one point I was out at a nightclub watching this band with a friend, and I talked to a pretty girl there. I talked to her for a couple of minutes, and I'd tell you the story, but it's too embarrassing. It was just a kind of this funny and tragic story. And she thought that I was nice and cute, but there was just nothing happening there. But I talked to her and she talked to me. And even though I could tell that it wasn't going anywhere, I walked out and I said to my friend who I was with, I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I am going to figure out how this works because I am just, I'm just tired of not understanding it, and I did. And then that led me to a place in my life where I was able to meet someone like Annie. And I feel like by going and learning the lessons and getting to the point where I didn't feel insecure anymore, like I knew that I could get a date, I got to that point in my life and then I met Annie, then I was able to recognize, okay, this is a really good opportunity. Like, this is it. I was able to recognize this is worth more than all, of the single opportunity. Like, it's all put together. Like, this is it. And so I was able to kind of go all in. And that's what happens in business too, when you're an entrepreneur and when you're growing a business, is as long as you're willing to keep learning and growing and trying things, and you'll do whatever it takes to get to the point where you understand and you've found your method, your place, then you can find it. Okay, then you can find it. Yeah. All right. So that's kind of the mindset. You keep going until you do. You don't give up. You persist until you find your place, until you find your way of creating value, until you find your way of getting clients, of getting customers. And I'm really serious about this persisting thing. There, I can give you story after story in my life where I've persisted at trying to meet a particular person or build a kind of business or even books. You know, like when I first read Ken Wilber's material years ago, I read it and I just went, I don't have any idea what he's talking about. Like this stuff, this might as well be in another language here. But I knew there was enough of it. Yeah, Diana, that doesn't make sense to you yet. You're working on it. Okay, keep at it. Keep reading it. Keep coming back. But I read, you know, Ken's stuff and I knew there was something to it because the little bit I could figure out, you know, I just kept coming back to it. And it took me a few years, before it really made sense. And some of his stuff was 10 years or so. And a lot of it, I still don't understand, you know, but I really believe in this. You stay at it until it yields, until you figure it out. Okay. The next piece of the equation here. I mentioned that when I wrote this ad that said Free Report reveals how to save money if you're buying or selling a home in, you know, Eugene, Oregon, that insight of offering the value that my prospective client wants, that this is different than trying to sell myself or do image advertising or advertise my company, that from their perspective, what they want is the thing they want. They want to buy a home. They want to save money, right? They want to not buy a lemon. You know, they want to not buy a house that's a money pit. So once I got this distinction of they have things that they want and they want them really bad, things they want and things they want to avoid. And if I can get clear about those and then offer them those things, that's what's going to get them to call me. That's what's going to get them to believe that I can help them, right? Yesterday, inside of our virtual coach program, we just did an exercise where we got really clear about the benefits, the outcomes that our clients would get. And when we offer a coaching package, instead of offering coaching, we offer that outcome. So for example, if you're a health coach, right? Never offer your client health coaching. Only offer your client them 20 pounds thinner. Okay, so the thing that you're offering them, if you're selling a coaching package for, let's say it's $5,000 for a health coaching package, you're not offering, you give me $5,000 and I'll give you health coaching. You're offering, you give me $5,000 and I'll give you 20 pounds thinner, looking great in a bikini and feeling confident. We go all the way, that's not the point here, but we go all the way to, the virtual coach, my advanced trainings, we go all the way to actually naming the package something like a lose 20 pounds in 90 days package. Okay, the package is the thing that you want. If the person shows up and says, I'm just feeling low energy and sick and tired all the time, and what they want is to dramatically increase their energy, what you offer them is a double your energy coaching package. Yeah, that's the actual offer. And what you're saying is you're going to invest with me. You'll pay me $997 a month for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, you're going to have double the energy. You're going to leap out of bed in the morning. You're going to be inspired. You're going to feel really good. And you're going to stop getting sick so much. That's the value trade-off there. Okay. Now, in the kind of academic, professional, industrial economy that we all come out of, that isn't the way we think because it isn't the way the people who are paying us think. Okay, so let me draw a distinction here. If you're an accountant, okay, let's say you went to school for 5 years and you got an accounting degree and you're a professional, you've got 10 years of experience as an accountant, you're a really good accountant. When you go apply for an accounting job, the person who's hiring you is usually someone that works at a company. What they're buying an accountant to do accounting. So what you're doing is you're advertising, I'm an accountant and I can do accounting. You're kind of doing like a form of personal marketing, or I'm sorry, brand marketing. Not, it's about you and about being an accountant. When you're working with a coaching client or any kind of person that's hiring you and is going to pay you a lot of money to work with them, coaching, consulting, advising, any of this kind of stuff, they're not trying to hire an accountant to do accounting. What they're doing is they're trying to hire them with the result that they want. It's a completely different kind of context. Even though they're hiring you and even though they're going to pay you really well, where they're coming from, I mean, here, let me even draw a finer way of saying this here. So let's say that you're talking to a CEO. Let's say you're talking to someone who owns a company and they have 50 people working for them, and they're hiring you to help them lose 20 pounds. Okay. So let's say they were at their company that they own, okay, where they're the CEO and they're the founder. And let's say they have 50 people that work for them and they do $10 million a year in their company. By the way, this is exactly the kind of person who will pay you $5,000 or $10,000 for a coaching package to help them lose 20 pounds. Okay. So, you know, totally in line. So they've been at work all day. And let's say one of the things that they did that day at work was they needed to hire an accountant, because in their accounting department, they have three people that work there. And let's say their accountant, they're kind of, you know, chief, whatever, VP of finance or whatever they call it in their organization, left. So they needed to hire an accountant. When they're hiring that accountant, they're in, okay, I'm hiring an accountant to do accounting mode. So they're going to ask that accountant, where did you go to school? What's your accounting experience? Okay, can you, you know, give me references for where you've done accounting in other places? Come in here and talk to my team. How would you do the accounting here? Does this make sense, everybody? Can you just sizzle your fingers at me? They're hiring an accountant. Now that person, that CEO, let's call her Alexis. She comes home and she says, okay, now it's, you know, that evening. And now she wants to lose 20 pounds. And she says, you know, my sister had this coach, this health coach, and let me give her a call here, you know, and see what's up. And so, you know, Diana says, gets on the phone or gets on Zoom with her and says, hi, Alexis, you know, let's talk about, you know, what you're trying to do here. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to avoid? And Alexis says, well, you know, I've gained 20 pounds during COVID and I'm, you know, getting all sluggish and I'm eating, you know, junk food and whatever. And I need to lose 20 pounds. I want to be 20 pounds thinner. I want to look better. You know, I want to be more attractive to my partner. I want to have more energy. Okay. So what Diana should do, okay, is sell Alexis her 20 pounds thinner. She should not sell her coaching and I'm a coach and you should hire me as a coach the same way that Alexis hired that accountant. Do you understand? And the mistake that we make as coaches when we're in startup mode is we show up and we try to offer ourselves for sale. We kind of trying to sell ourselves as coaches the same way that worked for the last 20 years in our career, because that's what we did. And that's how we thought about it. And that's how the whole world worked. It's what everybody did, rather than realizing I've shifted to a new thing here. I'm doing a new role. This is a new thing that I'm doing here. I have to throw that whole thing out. And I have to realize I'm talking to one person about one major need that they have and one result they want to get. And then I'm going to offer them that thing that they want, that one specific thing. And then I'm going to, you know, earn, charge, get paid well to help that one person get that one thing. And the fact that I'm a coach or an accountant or whatever it is very secondary. Those things are going to be like supporting this other thing. Yeah, we got it. Kind of like, by the way, if Alexis is over here hiring an accountant over in her company, when she hires the accountant, if the accountant starts out and says, I'm a coach, okay, I'm a really great coach and I can help people get great results and so forth, Alexis is going to be like, well, I'm trying to hire an accountant. And if that that accountant said, yeah, I'm an accountant too, but I am a coach. Let me just tell you all about what a great coach I am, because I know how to coach people and help them get great results. And I'm a great collaborative leader and communicator, right? At some point, Alexis is going to go, it's weird. Okay. You're an accountant, but you keep trying to sell me on the fact that you're a coach. So over in the coaching world, it's the opposite. So when you show up and you're talking to a prospective client, what you don't want to try to do is sell them on the fact that you're a coach, because that isn't what they're trying to buy there. If you keep talking about your credentials or trying to show them your brochure or convince them that you got certified by whoever, that's going to be a disconnect, you know? Now, over in the professional world, let's go back to the accounting example here. If that accountant that she's interviewing says, here are my accounting credentials, okay, and here's what I've done at the other jobs that I've had, and here's how I can help you, and answered it with all the appropriate hiring an accountant answers. And then while that was happening, she said, I also want to tell you something important about, you know, hiring me as an accountant. I'm not only a highly qualified accountant who's going to help you build your accounting department, but I'm also a great coach. And what this is going to do for you is I'm going to be able to coach your accounting team, and I'm going to help them grow so that we can build a stronger accounting department and help your company grow. Okay. Alexis is going to say, oh, that's great. Thanks for telling me about that. And it'll seem like a benefit because it's a little bonus. Do we understand? Yeah. So it's the same thing over with coaching, about coaching. And if you're an accountant, you know, like let's say that you're an accountant and you're also a coach, and someone's going to hire you to help them with their finances. Okay. You want to talk to them about, you say, okay, what do you want to do? And they say, well, I need to get out of $50,000 worth of debt, and I want to start a savings plan, and I want to start an investment program, and, you know, so forth and so on. When you're offering your coaching package, you have to say, you're going to invest $5,000 with me, and we're going to get you out of $50,000 worth of debt. Got it? So you give me 5,000, we're going to get you out of 50, so that there's that transaction. They're going to get the thing they want for the money. And then as a bonus, by the way, oh, here are my coaching certifications. Oh, and also I'm a certified accountant. Okay. I'm a CPA. And that really helps, because I'm going to know what to do to help set up your books, and we're going to create a budget, and it's supporting evidence. Yeah. All right. So let's just be clear. And because I'm kind of can't stop myself from talking about this these days. I've always been this way. I'm not trying to teach coaching, right? Coaching is not the main subject that I'm teaching here. Just like when I teach marketing isn't the subject that I'm trying to teach either, or when I teach sales or any of the things that I teach. What I'm trying to teach is how to have a really successful life, right? And I'm interested in principles that work in multiple places. All right. And what I've found, the more I've studied this, the more I've learned about sales and marketing and communication, persuasion, relationships, that this thing that I'm talking about right here, that this translates over to other areas as well. Because whenever you have interpersonal relationships, friends, family, romantic partner, children, the people that you care about, they're not interested in hiring an accountant or a coach. They're interested in getting what they want to get. They're interested in getting the thing they want and avoiding the thing that they don't want. It's really great with children because you can just see it. They don't have the awareness to hide this fact. We adults, we're always playing all these games with ourselves and trying to pretend that we don't really want things, or not show our needs, or make people feel uncomfortable. And we're doing all this stuff. But kids, you know, my 9-year-old daughter, she is just, I mean, the term is like unself-conscious. You know, some people would call it shameless about the thing that she wants. You know, she's really into her pets right now. She's got a bearded dragon lizard, and she's got a little gecko lizard. She likes reptiles, you know, so we got several reptiles in the house here. And if she gets her mind around buying a particular terrarium for her lizard, for example, It's all she wants to talk about. It's all she's interested in. You know, we can sit down and say, well, you know, hey, honey, do you want to, you know, let's brush your teeth or, you know, let's do whatever it is. And it's like, okay, great. But let's talk about the reptile terrarium, Dad, because I was thinking about it. And, you know, we could order it online, but they've got one over here at the, you know, at the pet store. And whatever's going on for her, it's like a heat-seeking missile, or it's like a, you follow? It's like Romeo with the Juliet thing. It's just, I'm going after that thing. Okay. Well, let's remember, everyone, that all people are doing this all the time, including you and me. We are all thinking about that thing we want and the thing we want to avoid and that we're worried about pretty much all the time. And if we weren't pretending, caught up with our social persona, doing what's appropriate, you know, acting like this isn't the case, if we could just be kids again, we would do the same thing. We would just bring it back to whatever we cared about. But we've learned as adults that that's not polite. Other people have needs. It's not what's going to get us a lot of, you know, build a lot of good political alliances with other people and, you know, strong relationships and partnerships. We have to let the other person talk. We have to be interested in what they want. And yeah, and we grow up and we understand why. Okay. Who's following me here? You're tracking with me what I'm saying. Okay, great. So I just want to apply this to our other relationships as well, because it's strange, but we forget with our kids, with our romantic partner, with our friends, with our family, we forget to kind of walk into the room when we see them and say, hi, how are you doing? What's going on for you? And to listen and remember, they're thinking about something they want, and they're thinking about something that they want to prevent or that they don't want. And if we can tune into that and then help align everything that's happening with that, we're going to do so much better. Okay. We're going to do so much better. If you walk into the room and you're thinking like, I want to go out and have Italian food tonight, you know, and your romantic partner's in that room and you're coming in with, okay, how do I angle them to the Italian restaurant? You know, and they're sitting there because, you know, they're worried about, you know, something. Maybe they're worried about they've had a fight with their mom and, you know, they're all freaked out about that. And you start with, let's go to Italian food. But you haven't connected up with they're feeling down, they're having a conflict with their mom, you know, you're going to have a harder time because they might just be like, no, I just want to stay in tonight. I don't feel like going out and I don't really feel like talking to people or you for that matter. Whereas if you come in and you say, hey, honey, you know, hi, how are you doing? Good. You know, what's going on? How are you feeling? What's going on for you? Oh, you know, I got in a fight with my mom and I'm just kind of feeling a little bit down and, you know, everything. You go, oh, okay. You got in a fight with your mom. You know, you want to talk about it a little bit, maybe, you know, or maybe in a little while we can just talk about it and I can be supportive. Maybe just listen. Oh, yeah, that might be nice, you know. Okay, so now you've got something. You've got where they are and what they're thinking about, what's going on for them. And you can say, you know what, how about this? Let's go to Italian food. And I would love to listen to you talk about your mom. And we could do it, you know, out a little bit. And I kind of feel like Italian. And how about this? And when it's go have Italian food to be supported with mom, that's a completely different equation. Okay. It's a totally different story. I like to tell the story about, you know, a couple of years ago, my daughter had a pet snail and we would try to get her sometimes to go turn the light off in the kitchen before dinner and say, honey, we go turn the light off in the kitchen. You know, we're going to bed. And she'd be like, why? You know, I like the light on. You know, like, well, you know, it wastes electricity. And, you know, it's like trying to explain electricity to, you know, a child. And she just never cared, you know. And then she got this snail and it was in the kitchen for a while. And it was, you know, hey, honey, will you go turn off the light in the kitchen so your snail can go to sleep? It's a straight line. It's like right to the kitchen to turn the light off because it makes sense to her, you know. Another example I'll give from her childhood that is where I really learned a lot of this lesson, and this will be the last one on this point, is she got some Barbie dolls when she was a little girl. Okay, she was probably 6, something like this, 6, 7. And all of a sudden there was a Barbie doll, a real Barbie doll in the house. You know, the really skinny one with the big boobs and the fake, you know, everything. And when I saw that, I was like horrified, because I just don't want that, you know, that thing in my, you know, going into her consciousness. So I was like, you know, to Andy, I'm like, honey, you know, where'd the Barbie doll come from? Who got that? She's like, oh, I don't know. So somehow somebody sent it or something. I was like, okay. But she was playing with it and she loved it, you know. And then like a couple of days later, there's like another Barbie doll. I'm like, oh, uh-oh. And she's playing with them. And then like a third Barbie shows up, like astronaut Barbie or something. And somehow, I don't even remember where they came from. Somebody was getting them for her, or they, you know, there's like three of them and she's playing Barbies. And so I'm like, okay, I can't just take these things away from her, because she's all into them. And, you know, so I sat down one night and I'm like, hey, honey, can I play Barbies with you? You know, or can I play dollies? I said, dollies, you know. She's like, okay, dad, you know. So we're sitting there playing dollies and, you know, doing some pretend stories and stuff. And I realized that these things don't stand up. They have these little tiny feet. So like you have to have the doll walk into the room and like say something, and then it has to lay down while you pick up another thing and whatever. And I was like, these things are terrible, you know? And so then I'm playing with the dollies and I'm seeing like how into the Barbies she is. And I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to get rid of these things? And then the next thing you know, there's these plastic stands that you put around the waist of the Barbie doll to keep it standing up, because when you're playing Barbies, they fall over if not. And so now I'm like, okay, this is absolutely getting out of control. I am crazy right now, because I'm allowing the Barbies in the house with the stands. You know, what are we going to do? And so I'm trying to figure out like, what can we do? So then we looked online and I was talking to Annie about this. And then one time I was playing with Love, playing the Barbies. And I said, hey, Love, I said, these Barbies don't stand up. That's just not now, you know, it's weird. And you always have to lay them down or use these stands. And I was like, how would you feel if we went and looked for some dollies that had feet and that stood up? And she was like, oh, that sounds great, you know? And I said, awesome. So we went and we looked and we did research and we found these little dolls called Lottie dolls that have like real feet and that do stand up. And I said, what about these? And they're much more realistic. You know, they still are kind of a little bit anime with the big eyes. And so we ordered one and we got it. And I said, how would you like it if we had these rather than the Barbies? She's like, oh, that's great. And like, boom, I ordered a few of those. Barbies were out the next day. And I was like, yes. So what happened? Right? The standing up thing was a hassle for her. And I found something she cared about. Would you rather have some dollies that stand up? And when I found something that was her value, it was no problem. Okay. So we got it, everyone. All right. So this is the trick right here to getting clients and helping those clients get great results. It's being the rare person that shows up and says, what are you trying to achieve? What do you care about? What's important to you? And what are you trying to avoid? What are you worried about? What are your fears and frustrations? What are your wants and aspirations? And then digging into those and getting into, okay, if you got that thing you want, what would that mean to your life? If you avoided that fear, what would that do for you? And really unpacking all that stuff. And then saying to them, I understand your situation. Let me see if I can communicate that I understand it. And then you say it, and then you go, do I understand each other? Yeah. And if you listen really well and then say everything back to the person, they're going to be paying a lot of attention to you, because you're going to be the first one that's understood them at this level or that was really listening. And then if you offer them a coaching package that gets them all the things they want and helps them avoid all the things that they don't want, and it's reasonable, and you've done a good job building rapport and they're qualified and they can afford it and all that stuff, then they will be much more likely to make an investment with you. Okay. Do we understand, everyone? We got it? Okay. Very important. This is the foundation of good entrepreneurship and sales and marketing and even with coaching. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about AI. Okay, because I want to make sure and share this, because this is so important right now. Artificial intelligence. Okay, I've been paying attention to this field for, I don't know, 20 years or something. I have a startup business that I'm a partner in that has been working in this world for a few years. And so I've been watching it and paying attention to it. But what's happened in the last few months is unlike anything that I've ever seen before. And I think that it's the most, the way I've been describing it is, I think this is basically the most important thing that's ever happened. Like, this is literally the beginning of the most important thing that's ever happened. And that's a big thing to say. You know, what could that mean, the most important thing that's ever happened? And another way of saying it is, maybe it's the most important thing that it's ever happened since life itself. And it's because we humans have been accumulating this knowledge for thousands or tens of thousands of years, and we've been encoding it in language and math formulas and science and biology and all this stuff. And then for the past 25 years, we've been literally uploading all of it to the cloud, and it's all finding itself in Wikipedia and Amazon and all these books and all these videos and, you know, millions of hours of video and all these experts, and everything's now all in one place called the internet. And now artificial intelligence and computers have gotten to the place where you can have an AI model that goes and reads everything that humans have read and written. I'm sorry, everything that humans have created basically and written, and listen to all their words as well. And you can have an AI go look at all the art that humans have ever made. Okay, and you can have an AI that listens to all the music that humans have ever made. And they're getting good enough now to start creating new stuff. And that's where we're at right now. And these new platforms like ChatGPT, OpenAI, and Midjourney or DALL-E, and some others that are coming out, they can do this now. And it's just absolutely shocking what it's doing. Like, in a, it's just an absolute mind-blowing way. So I'll just show you a couple of things here. Give you a little demo here of what you can do with this. So if you're not signed up for this, I want you to just go to openai.com. Okay, openai.com. I'll just drop it in the chat here. Okay, openai.com. Go sign up. It's the other thing that's unbelievable about this is it's free. Right? It just came out and it's free to use. And the next version is coming out soon too. Okay. So quick little demo of what this can do. I want you to think of this. The way to think of this is, imagine that you had a team of, well, let's imagine you had a virtual assistant who read everything that humans have ever done and can work 24/7 for you full time, and can write a lot faster than you or anyone else for that matter. So just start off thinking like an assistant who knows everything, and then what could you ask them to do? And it speaks English as well, or whatever language you speak. So you can, because we've only got a few minutes here, I'll just do a quick little demo here so you can get a sense, right? So explain the theory of relativity to a 8-year old. The theory of relativity is a big idea that helps us understand how things move in space. Imagine you're on a train and it starts moving. To you, inside the train, it looks like things outside are moving past you. But if you're outside the train, you would see that the train is the one moving. The theory of relativity says that how things look and how fast they're moving can be different depending on where you're standing. So if you're on the train, things might look different to you than they do to someone inside the train, outside the train. Another example, the faster you go, the slower time goes. So if you're on a rocket ship going really fast, time would pass more slowly for you than it would for someone on Earth. It's a tricky idea, but it helps scientists understand how things work in space. Okay, so this isn't pulling from a database somewhere. It's writing it based on, I want it for an 8-year-old. And notice it's saying things like, it's a tricky idea. The theory of relativity is a big idea. It's speaking 8-year-old. Do you kind of feel it? Okay, now watch this. Write a poem that explains the theory of relativity simply. Space and time, they're not the same, but Einstein's theory made it clear that how we see things isn't always true. It depends on where we are and how we're moving here. Like on a train, it seems the world is flying by, but it's the train that's moving, not the sky. So too in space, things aren't as they seem. Relativity helps us understand the scheme. The faster we go, the slower time will fly. For those on Earth, it's just a blink of an eye. But for those in a rocket, time will drag. It's a strange but true fact that we can't help but God. Okay. Now I could say, rewrite this in a Shakespearean sonnet. The laws of physics, oft so hard to know, Einstein doth teach in theory clear and true, that space and time, they are not as they seem, but change with motion, as the world doth hew. So the style mixing, okay, so let me just stop for a second. And you see how fast it's writing it, and it's absolutely astonishing. Okay, so is everybody with me here? You seeing what's going on? Okay, so why did I show you this particular example? Because I want you to understand that when you ask it something, it can communicate it at any level you want. It can give you graduate level. It can give you 8-year-old. And it can do style transfer. So I can say, put it into a poem, put it into a Shakespearean sonnet, put it into a headline, put it into a blog post. Okay. So now that we've got this, now let me share again with you. And now let's start doing something that's actually practical that a coach might want to do. All right, so I'm going to just start a new one here because it remembers what you're doing inside of each chat, and it keeps, so if as you're doing something like that, it keeps all the text and it references what you did earlier, because if you're writing, you know, more content or something, it's just very deep. Just get using this. All right, so here we go. Let's say write an outline here. Write the table of contents for a new book about conscious leadership. How about this? About virtual conscious leadership. Okay, I'm going to put some new ideas together. So it's virtual conscious leadership. So write the table of contents for a new book about virtual conscious leadership. Okay. Now, because everybody's signing up for this, millions and millions of people, it sometimes runs a little bit slow, like it's just kind of hesitating, but here we go. Introduction, understanding the concept of virtual conscious leadership. 2, the importance of self-awareness in virtual leadership. Building trust and connection in virtual teams. Communicating effectively in a virtual environment. Managing and motivating remote workers. Promoting innovation and creativity in a virtual setting. Okay, so this stuff, doesn't this all sound like the components of virtual conscious leadership? Okay. So now we'll just grab one of these here. Communicating effectively in a virtual environment. Okay. So here we go. Write a blog post titled Communicating Effectively in a Virtual Environment. Okay. So watch what this comes up with. Keep in mind, this has read everything that humans have created, and it's basing this on the average of what it thinks the best would be as the answer to this question. Communicating effectively in a virtual environment can be a challenge for many leaders. With the rise of remote work and virtual teams, the ability to communicate clearly and effectively is more important than ever. In this post, we'll explore some strategies for communicating effectively in a virtual environment. One of the key challenges of virtual communication is the lack of nonverbal cues and body language. When communicating in person, we rely heavily on nonverbal cues such as facial expressions, gestures, and tone of voice to understand the meaning behind someone's words. In a virtual environment, these cues are often misleading, making it more difficult to understand the intent behind a message. To overcome this challenge, it's important to be clear and direct in your communication. Use simple, concise language and avoid ambiguity. I'm learning something right now. I hadn't thought about that in that one idea in a while, right? Isn't that pretty good, right? Additionally, it's important to be aware of the different communication styles of your team members. Some people may prefer to communicate via email, right? So now here, let's try this. I'm going to write 10 potential motivating titles for this blog post. Okay, so it's finishing up, but look at how much content it's written here. So this is kind of maybe 2 pages worth of blog post content. Okay, so it's finishing up. In conclusion, communicating effectively in a virtual environment requires a different approach by being clear and direct, seeking feedback, being flexible, now it's summarizing all the tips that it gave you. Okay, so write 10 potential motivating titles for this blog post, and let's see what it comes up with. It's great at writing headlines, subject lines, ad copy. I've had multiple people telling me that the ads that this thing writes have been performing really well. Here we go. So now we're going to make a good post, right? It could be email subject line, title for videos for this thing. Mastering virtual communication, strategies for success. Overcoming the challenge of virtual leadership. Clear and effective communication in a virtual world. Building strong connections in a virtual team. The art of virtual communication, tips and tricks. Leading remote teams, the key to effective virtual communication. Effective virtual, right? This, I hire copywriters. I've been hiring copywriters for 20 years. The way I've been describing this thing is it's like having $1 million copywriting team available 24/7 for free. And it writes faster than 10 people. You know, it really does. Is it perfect? No, but it's free. can you just wrap your head around this for a minute? That thing is free. And the new version's coming out in a few months. That's going to be way more powerful. You know, it's going to cost money soon, but it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be $1 million. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. So my, I just want to leave you with this. Go to openai.com, sign up, make sure you're using this and just start using it every day. Okay? Use it for 20 or 30 minutes. You can ask it to plan a menu for a Christmas party. You can have it give you a recipe. You can have it teach you anything. Oh, here, I'll leave you with this. I forgot to show you this little demo here. Here. I'll write the code for a pop-up on my website that collects name and email and redirects to another page. Okay, so watch this. And you can, if you don't understand how to do something, you can ask it to teach you. You can say, teach me how to do this, or what should I ask you about something? You can, right? Okay, here's an example of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript code that can be used to create a simple pop-up form on a website that collects a user's name and email and redirects them to another page upon submission. And there it is, it's right in the computer code. Writes code, you know, and it'll write. It's going to write the HTML, then it'll write the CSS, then it'll write the JavaScript, and then it'll explain to you how to use it, like what to do with it. Okay. So just think about the difference between that and being like, okay, I got to hire somebody to put a pop-up on my website. You know, you'd have to be a little bit handy with code, but it's just a total game changer. All right. So you get it, everybody? We got it? Okay. Go use this. Midjourney, by the way, and DALL-E, they're art platforms, and they're just as impressive. You can go and type anything you want into them, and it'll make you art that will just absolutely boggle your mind. Way better than most concept artists or artists that you'll hire on Fiverr. And, you know, for 20 or 30 bucks a month, it's just shocking. Okay. So I this is the most important message I can give you right now. Is it, this is here right now. This is not some imaginary thing. This isn't a, maybe it's coming someday, whatever. This is the biggest thing that's happened in technology. It's growing faster than anything ever has. There's already millions and millions of people using it, and with good reason. Good friend of mine just told me the other day, he writes marketing packages for, you know, like really successfully charges like a lot of money to create marketing packages. He said, it usually takes me 3 months to do the whole package, like get the avatar, do all the values, do the sales letter, do all the marketing. He said, I just did it for a client using this in 2 weeks instead of 3 months. It went that much faster. I had another friend of mine who's a coach to really high-end clients in Silicon Valley. He was going to go do a 360 interview thing where he had a bunch of executives and he's going to be sending them questions and doing this whole thing. And he had to get all their values and then get all the values of all the people into the list of questions that he was going to ask them. And he said, this would normally have taken me 3 hours to do myself. He said, I just put it all into ChatGPT and told it, give me the questions. And it said, it made me like 20 questions in 40 seconds. And he was like, oh my gosh. And then he just told it, he said, rewrite in the style of, you know, John Maxwell and Stephen Covey. And it rewrote the questions in that style. And he said, done. Better than I could have done, kind of thing. All right. So go use this. And, you know, I don't, what does it mean to all of us? Does it mean it's taken our jobs or it's going to be a better coach than us or whatever? I don't know. But what I do know is that not paying attention to it is probably not the right thing to do right now. Learning how to use this to enhance and extend our powers and take our genius and use that to create more value in the world. I think that that's the right move. You know, that's what I think. All right. Wanted to make sure that you saw that. So in summary, my friends, connect up with your audience, with your clients, and figure out what they want and what they want to avoid. Get clear about that. And then offer them that in their words. Do it with your romantic partner. Do it with your kids. Do it with your friends as well. Be interested in where they're at, what they're thinking about, and then line everything up. Okay, like let's go to the Italian restaurant and talk about your fight with your mom. Start doing things that way more with everyone in your life and with your clients, and you'll do much better. And use the new generative AI tools, okay? Because they're going to sweep through things. They're the biggest innovation I think that's ever happened, and they're going to change everything. And it's going to happen very rapidly. And we want to make sure that we're fluent and literate, and we're on the cutting edge. I'm already working on multiple projects. I'm going to be trying to bring you and my whole community interviews with the people that are building this stuff, interviews with experts that are using it. You know, tools, how we can use this stuff to be better coaches. All right. It was great seeing you today. Okay, great seeing you. Thank you. All right, have a great rest of the day. All right, see you soon, everybody. All right, bye-bye.